Good morning again, my friend. This is David Stahl from Behold in His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Now, before I get going, please do not forget about that free offer of receiving a copy of my teaching in article form or each Sunday teaching in audio form by sending me an email at charliegulf1, that's all one word, charliegulf1@outlook.com, and just request it. Now, last week we really touched on a sobering point that most Christians and some believers I know wrongfully believe. Thousands, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of Christians believe they are earning an eternal reward based on all of their good works. My friend, God is not concerned about what we have, our degrees and our credentials, or if we've been ordinated or any of that stuff. My friend, even our natural gifts are not going to matter. What we think we have done for God is not going to count either. He is going to care only about what we are in relationship to Him. Let me say that again. God is only going to care about what we are in relationship to Him. And here is even more sobering news. God is going to hold us accountable for the lives that we have affected, and maybe more for the lives we have not affected as a result of our relationship with Him in this age. All of the things we think Jesus cares about, degrees and buildings and ministries and good works and all of that stuff, He does not. You see, all of these were man-made. They were invented to satisfy a dead religion. And in the end, what we supposedly done for God, now that's in quotes, is not even going to be mentioned by Jesus at all. In spite of all of the good and necessary ways in which we may have served the Lord and been used of Him, it is going to all come down to one thing, and that one thing is our individual and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This one thing will be what defines us now. Let me say that again. It's what defines us now and for all of eternity. In all of our games and our religiosity and, yes, our self-righteousness, it will be our relationship with Jesus is exactly and is the only thing that will define us for all of eternity. You see, dead religion and churches where the life of Christ is not being manifest wants to do something for God instead of become something in God. Becoming more and more and more like Jesus Christ. Having the life of Christ formed in them. A church where the life of Christ is not being manifested does not care how they do things. Paul told the church of Galatia in Galatians 4:19, "My little children, in whom I travail in birth again." You see, Paul laid the foundation in this church before. "Until Christ be formed in you." These were the same folks that got off track into dead religion, and Paul had to come and waylay them again. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you so?" Well, I would say, "Oh, foolish churches, oh, foolish denominations, who has bewitched you so?" You know, we see this truth also play out in Luke 8:18, when Jesus told the disciples, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." Not what ye hear. Jesus was telling disciples how we do things is more important than what we do for Him. Do we hear with a soft and humble heart? Do we hear with no ambition and no motives for a reward? God is always more concerned, my friend, how we do things than what we do. Yes, it is going to be our relationship with Christ. Wow. And it's always based on how we do things, and how we did them will define us for all of eternity. As I said last week, all of this dead religion in this age will, and I believe soon, will come to an end. And Christ will start a new beginning. Amen? The church will start afresh and anew. Maybe as it did when it first began on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit brought down the life of Christ. Let me say that again. In Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit brought down the life of Jesus Christ. Again, without the life of Christ, you cannot, repeat, cannot have a church. And so before Acts 2, the church was a dead religion. Jesus referred to it in Matthew 23 and 28. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Well, they would be the pastors and the teachers and the seminary folks and even evangelists today. Ye hypocrites, for ye are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward. Well, just look at the big mega churches and the big beautiful buildings. Oh my gosh. But, Jesus goes on, but are within those churches full of dead men's bones and of all unclean. Well, now, not all the churches, my friend, let me be clear, not all of the churches, but I would say most of the churches today would fit Jesus' description. We may have started correct in Acts 2, but through the years we have gotten further and further away from what Jesus established. In just my short life, I am embarrassed to see such a falling away in most churches. But in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit brought down the life of Christ. Let me say that again. In Acts 2, the Holy Spirit brought down the life of Christ. And all of those in the upper room, the 120 folks up there, you can read that in Acts 1 and 15, were born again, and the church was established. The Holy Spirit has been with them, but as Jesus said, He, the Holy Spirit, now will be in them. And just as those disciples were now born again that day, so the church was born. The church was born. Incidentally, this is one reason why we know the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not, repeat, not a second blessing. But it is, in fact, Christ in us, Colossians 1:27, hope of glory. No disputing that fact, my friend. Christ in us, and the church was born on the day of Pentecost. But once we admit that, we have to admit that no one could have been born again before that day. For the church must be born precisely at the point that the members of the church are born again, or birth from above, as Jesus told Nicodemus. And why? Is not the church made up of all those who are in Christ? Let me say that again. Is not the church made up of all those that whom Christ dwells within? So the church was born that day only because it was on that day Christ came to dwell in them through the Spirit and into the 120 disciples, and they were born again. This is one proof to the effect that Acts 2 was not, repeat, not a second blessing that we must receive to have special power or ability to do things that God wants us to do, as many Pentecostals and Charismatics would teach, but was actually the one and only blessing of Christ coming to indwell believers for the very first time. What I want us to see about Acts 2, though, my friend, is that Jesus never told the disciples to do a church, to build a church. He never told them to start a movement. Not once in the New Testament, from the words of Jesus or the apostles, do we ever hear a mention of the need to grow the church in numbers. In fact, Jesus never told the disciples to start anything. Rather than starting a church on that day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish religious holiday, the disciples, now listen closely, became the church. We are the church. We are the church. The church was not, repeat, not started. It was born. Knowing all of the apostles and the 120 in the upper room were Jewish, wrongly they continued, though, going to the Jewish temple to worship. And on the day of Pentecost, when Peter got up to preach, and you can see that in Acts 2:14, he was preaching to only Jewish people, no Gentiles allowed at that time. They had to wait till Saul of Tarsus, later became Paul, was given the message of salvation by grace through faith are we saved. And we can see that in Ephesians 2 and 8. But until then, it was Jew only. And then the persecution scattered the church to the wins. In Acts 11:19, Paul writes, "Now they," was the church, "which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, travailed as far as Cilicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jew only." Wow, unto the Jew only. Wow. This verse was 15 years after the day of Pentecost. That verse, Acts 11:19, was 15 years after the day of Pentecost. More next week on the institutionalization of the church, and it will probably be my last teaching on this, and then I would like to follow on, and this would be a great segue to follow on and look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is one of two of the most controversial dividing issues in the church. The other is women preachers. So this has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory. Hoping that you have a tremendous week and God just ministers this word to your heart. And we will tune in next week, and God bless and have a great day. Amen.